机缓缓地转动，声音轻轻向你说梦。街角的灯晃着黄昏，牵出你当年模糊的影踪。
Hello, welcome back to Call Me Negotiator. And we've been hearing Dixon's story until he went to middle school and he became a teenager, and then he later on visited back to China, Hong Kong. Could you share something about us?
When I went 16 years old, my aunt and uncle brought me back to visit my parents when I was 16 years old, back to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what, like, it was kind of like reconnecting, but I don't have any memories of them, right? So at 16, just say, oh, you're going to go back to visit your mother and father, and they had three more. I had three more siblings after I left.
Right.
So So I went back, and it's kind of an eerie feeling. Like I was expecting, like Chinese culture at that time. Anyway, is not as how do you say it? Hugs and whatever, right? It's just like hi and whatever.
Yeah, we're still like that, I felt.
Yeah, and I was expecting like, hey, you know, like give me a hug or whatever. It's just like when you meet my mother and father and my brothers and sisters for the first time, it's like, hi, this is Dixon, and hi, I'm Diana, or I'm your father, I'm your mother. It's like, it's different feelings, right?
Right.
And then, I got to get to know them. Well, I was expecting, the living conditions were not that great. We were in my mother and father's living in Chinwan.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's, yeah. Right. So the living condition weren't as great in Hong Kong back then.
Yeah, and so I went back there, and my uncle dropped me off. Okay, this is where you're gonna stay for 6 weeks.
Right.
And I'm looking around, and I say, I'm not used to that. Right. You know.
A little narrower, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Like
less space with more people.
Okay, you shower. It's not like a bathtub or a shower head, right?
Right.
It's like a garden hose hooked up to the faucet.
Oh.
And then you just shower like that, right?
Oh, in Hong Kong back then?
Yeah, well, okay. I lived in Chinwan, and you know where they had a house in Chinwan.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, interesting. So, yeah, like, because that totally met our show's core, because our show is a cross-cultural based where we're trying to bridge the East and the West, and your story literally just pointed out like how you grew up in the West, but however your family your family's been living, your siblings been growing up in Hong Kong. Hong Kong has been international, or more international than mainland China. And even that, when you went back and you're trying to give them a hug, they were just like culture shock, right?
So, I guess there's different demographics, right? You know,
right.
Chinwan was close, the border was close to China, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting, because how this culture shock happened between each other in the family is like very different story, because I also made like culture shock when I moved to a new place. And my culture shock when I came to Vancouver was happened literally in the first month when I visited Richmond, where most of the Chinese people would choose to live, because Richmond is very beautiful and it's super convenient.
Yeah.
And I got there and I assumed people here are kind of like people in the States where I associated from, because a lot of people ABC are like Chinese born American, they adapted or they've been growing up in the States and they adapted the Western culture very well. So I realized that the way they associating with each other is very different than the way the Chinese people associating with each other here. And I would say the Chinese community here that I met, a lot of them are very close to the mainland China Chinese culture. It's like very Asian.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so. Because there's people that here that came around a little bit after me, and they haven't really, they know all the English words and everything.
Yeah.
But they still have that culture where, not as a, because my aunt, I was different in a way, but my aunt was born in Canada, and I got the Canadian culture really, really fast, right?
Yeah, especially when you came here really young, and then you gotta speak English and become your mean mother language, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you went back to Hong Kong, then what other things happened after the shower thing?
Yeah, we played, walk around, play basketball with my father.
Right.
And basically just hang out with my birth family.
Right. So after that, you came back to Vancouver.
Came back to Vancouver. And all this time, we weren't accepting that my parents were going to stay in Hong Kong.
Mm.
But as my aunt and uncle spent a lot of their own money, paying for lawyers, just sponsoring my father and mother and my siblings over, and it actually was my aunt and uncle sacrificed a lot for my birth family.
Right.
Yeah. Because there was a lot of things that my cousins, they did without because of the money situation, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that definitely tied you, the big family together, right? Like, how do you feel after you have this experience you never had in Hong Kong, and then you came to Vancouver, but like, what age were you? Like, what age were you when you went back to Hong Kong and come back to Vancouver?
Well, I was 16 when I went to Hong Kong and I came back. And then obviously after I came back, I was a teenager, a few more years go by, and there was still no progress on my uncle sponsoring my father over. So by then when I turned 21 and I started working, so at that time when I'm 21 years old, my identity is legal, right? You can point that they're my parents, my mother and father.
Right.
So I sponsored them to come over.
Okay, that's really nice. So then you grew up there and then you became an adult.
Yeah.
I guess, like, did you go to university or you went to you went to work directly? What was that?
I didn't go to university. While I was in high school, all I wanted to do was work, right?
Like, yes.
Yeah, and I actually helped my uncle at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
He had a grocery store in Coquitlam.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a Pepsi salesman come to the store to put the order in for the weekly order. And I asked the salesman for a job. And I got a job there at age 21.
Mm.
Yeah, in 1977.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, like, was that challenging? Do you feel like as a minority, as a Chinese person, and that was like very young age, a lot of people here has been associating with less Chinese people or other race. So I'm pretty sure there were challenges there, right?
Well, I mean, working at Pepsi, it was called Grey Beverage back in the day. It was franchised out.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Grey Beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's challenging in the fact that all the high seniority people have the better job. But when you go in there
mm-hmm.
the first time, there's like a lot of physical job, which is good because, I mean, when the first 10 years I worked at Grey Beverage, I did a lot of physical work, like I think don't be afraid of physical work because I think it builds a base for you,
in
your physically and your health.
Okay, yeah. So later on, I guess, like, you start to become an adult and start to work. And then, were they more Chinese immigrants come to here? Did you feel like the situation and the environment is more friendly to Chinese people, just from your own perspective and experience?
I think in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of jobs back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I noticed that people that came to Canada, like around the same time as I did, but they were already older, right?
Mm.
They were able to afford a house, like by working, they're able to afford a house. But now it's a lot harder, right? You know,
right? Because so why is it a lot harder? Is that just because more people coming, or is because of do you know that the reasons? Because I've been hearing different kind of reasons from different people's analysis, and a lot of people come with different answers. So I think you have your own opinions about that, right?
Well, I think you got to make some sacrifices, right?
Like,
I mean, you know, you can't go out and eat all the time and take out food and stuff.
Yes.
And
so you were living in Coquitlam back then when you were working for your uncle?
Yeah.
And then did you move to somewhere else later on?
Okay. After I got married, after I got a job, and then I got married I met my wife.
Right. Talk about that. Like, share us with that.
In 1986.
Yeah, right.
Expo year.
Yeah.
I got married just before my 29th, just before my 30th birthday.
Right.
Yeah. And so I got married and had a son and my daughter was the firstborn, and then my son, and then later on I took my wife and I took custody of my sister's baby. She was born on May 7th, 2007, and she wasn't able to care for her. So the social worker said that she wouldn't be able to take the baby home because she wasn't cognitively able to look after the baby. So my wife and I, well, actually my aunt took my sister and the baby home first. And then, but at that time it was hard for my aunt to look after the baby.
Mm.
So that's when my wife and I decided to take off the legal custody of our niece.
Right. Does that take a lot of hard work to be able to build a family and also fostering or raising other, like, child.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, you just have to do it, right? You know, like his blood. I mean, she's the baby's blood, and I gotta pay it forward, right? Because I was raised by my aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So then I.
So you pass that kindness to through your generation.
Pay it forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
So where did you choose to live? In which part of Vancouver? Was that in Coquitlam or are you back to?
Actually, my first house was in Coquitlam,
mm-hmm.
and then I moved to North Delta. I actually moved four times.
Okay.
Coquitlam, North Delta, Surrey, and Surrey again. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So what made you choose that? Because I know that for audiences or for our Chinese audiences who don't know that, and for people who listen not from Vancouver area,
yeah.
The Surrey area is very popular for a lot of, especially for Indian immigrants to gather. It's just like Richmond for Chinese people.
Yeah.
It's still diverse. But
Yeah. Like when I go to Richmond, it seems like a lot of East Asian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I go to Surrey, there's South Asian.
Yeah.
And it's like you're in a different country,
yes.
But it's all, all diverse, right?
You know? You've never really moved to the heavy Chinese segregated area like Richmond or Chinatown?
No.
Did you have any reason for the choice, or just find like, hey, this price for the house is really good?
I didn't buy houses thinking to be with my ethnicity. I just wanted to like you said, it's pricing, right? You know.
That sounds really interesting. So you built your family and you moved like four times. Then I'm pretty sure, because now we have a lot of Chinese people here, we have a lot of other immigrants, very diverse community here in Vancouver. I guess you, while all this, your life has been moving forward, how do you feel about the city? What the changes and the affinity is definitely changed. And what are
they? Well, I think it's getting kind of crowded.
okay to say. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay. You need growth to for the economy, right? You
mm-hmm.
need growth, which you don't. People don't understand that, right? But it's okay to say that it's too much growth. But but they are. They are cutting back on the, in order to have the growth, you have to also build the infrastructure, like the hospitals and the housing or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm. Yes, for sure. And also, as you mentioned, when you were younger, you definitely missed some racist things. And now, because the community in Vancouver, in Canada, become more diverse, and also more people come from East Asia and all other places. So I personally, I moved to here for 2 years. I've never met a single situation where I feel like they're being racist. So is that just my situation, or is that it just changed, right?
Yeah, it's changed. Like I said, it's getting more, that people are accepting it, accepting the culture. You can't help it, right? That's the way it is right there. And then there's also people, it's a norm now for my Caucasian friends to go out for dim sum.
Right. So I think you, because you speak English and you know this land, so you have friends from different kind of background, right?
I wanted to connect to my roots,
mm-hmm.
and so I joined the Chinese Benevolent Society.
You want to show us something? Oh, yeah, that's great. Could you show to our maybe live streaming audiences, if that possible? I guess you just gotta move to here a little bit. Yeah, right. For our audiences through radio, So basically, Dixon is showing us the logo or the badge on the back of his shirt. Do you want to share?
Okay. It's in 1926, all the people with my surname started a society, Cheng Sing Sing Jiang. Sing Jiang in Chinese is here, let me write it down.
Yes, please.
And then you can say it in.
Yeah.
In the.
Oh, it's like Zhen.
Yeah.
Is that like Zhen?
Yeah, Cheng.
Right, yeah.
Cantonese spell it like Cheng.
Yeah.
But the Mandarins spell it with a Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Zheng.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's Zhen, and you're also. Because for my generation, who grew up in mainland China, we learned or studied how to. Oh, we can't read this, but like, oh, I can't write this. I write like simplified Chinese. So it's also very different. It shows like the gap between the older generation and us, and also from Hong Kong to the mainland, right?
Are you wondering how I can write Chinese?
Yes, please tell me.
I took one year at Chinese school in Chinatown.
Right.
But all I learned was my name and a few simple words.
Oh, interesting. So this association or this organization is full of people who come from the same family name or what?
Same family name.
Yeah.
But they're all, actually I'm the youngest guy. Because all the older people are organized it and run it.
Mm-hmm.
But the new generation, well, I don't call myself the new generation, but people yeah. younger than 80 are not interested.
Oh, really?
In doing this kind of thing. So that's why I went to one of their meetings and they wanted me to join, right? So I joined.
So you're the youngest now.
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
So what that association or organization's meaning do you? Like, do you,
oh, okay.
Is that for entertaining or?
So they own a property, the society does. No one person owns it.
Mm.
It's like a board of governors that run it, and they have an accountant that they have property in Chinatown and they rent it out.
Right.
Yeah, and we have a building where we meet once every three months. Yeah.
Wait, so they have this property for you guys to meet, but like only use once every 3 months. Is that a waste?
Yeah, that's what I say. But it's a historic building. It was built in 1926,
yes.
And it's our 100th year anniversary coming up. In the same location.
Where is that?
79 East Pender.
Is that in Burnaby, or is that in Vancouver?
It's in Chinatown, in the heart of Chinatown.
Oh.
In the heart of Chinatown. And 79 East Pender is where, do you know where Newtown Bakery is?
I'm not super familiar with Vancouver location, but...
Yeah, 79 East Pender, and that's a historic part of Chinatown. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so are they running something when there's no meeting going on, or...?
Actually, it runs itself. Like,
interesting.
We just have to have a meeting there because they're collecting rent from the other building. There's two stores, two addresses at that building.
Mm. You know? So you're going to, this organization or this association is going to have your own anniversary.
Yeah.
For like how many years, sorry?
No, from 1926 to 2026. 100 year anniversary.
100. Oh, when is that?
Sometime in the middle of the middle of the year.
In the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Like so now you're still going to the association.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they might have a banquet where all the Chinese get together.
Okay.
And actually, you know, when you go to these things.
Yeah.
You I know from my childhood that there's some relatives that we don't see,
yes.
but we don't know that they're related to us.
Yeah.
But like they're like fourth or fifth cousins. Like,
right.
if you go back four generations, mm. we share the same ancestors or something, mm. but no one can know quite where everybody lines up,
mm.
so we just call them cousins, right?
Right, you know? Right. Well, please invite me. I'm going to like apply to join and see how's that going. I know I'm not coming from this family name, but like it sounds really interesting to know this historical organization.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're able to bring more young people to get there. But yeah, I'm super interested to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know about this. Like, if I don't talk to you, and I'm pretty sure a lot of younger generation
yeah.
who's been growing up here, who moved to here later on, have no idea. Like, the older generation have those kind of association to support each other.
Yeah.
A lot of people looking for support or just like hanging out. But yeah, that's just awesome.
Okay. Next time when I get invited to these mm. things, you can.
Yeah, let me know.
Let me know.
I'm super interested to know more about like the organizations or the events going on here, because that really is a way for me to know the culture here, to know yeah. the people here fastest.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about asking you to go. I had a meeting on January the 1st,
mm.
but lucky I didn't. I got sick that day because I was out on New Year's Eve. But on January 1st, we had a get together, a luncheon thing,
mm-hmm.
and a whole bunch of get together.
Mm-hmm.
And you would find a lot of people have stories.
Interesting story. Yeah. You know what I'm looking for? I definitely look for like people who wanted to share their story. They're open to share their story,
yeah.
helping me, our audiences, our local Canadians know more about the immigrant, especially Chinese culture, and yeah. also for our Chinese audiences to understand more about like the immigrant story, because there are misunderstandings in between, but as the world goes more internationally,
yeah.
so we have this need to bridge the West and East, and talking about the stories, the interesting topics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm definitely super interested, and please let me know, and I definitely wanted to connect with more people and knowing the story
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Did you know the story about Catherine Clement?
I don't know.
She wrote all the stories about the 1923 Exclusion Act
mm.
and all the things
right.
about that. And I went to one of her book signing.
Oh.
And she's her mother was Chinese, and her father was a Caucasian,
mm.
and she did a research
yeah.
on all the stories.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to know those people, and no matter if they're willing to share their stories or their perspectives with yeah. our audiences, with me or not, like I always down to join those and see what's going on. Like it just opened my eyes and
yeah.
educate me.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, I mean, it's went so fast to the end of our show today, because our show is like from 4 to 5 p.m. today. We're running out a little late, or studying out a little late, because this is the first episode of 2026, and I have to share with you guys that today this show is the first time that my show goes on officially, so I'm really super glad to have Dixon as my guest for the first show, the new year, and also the official show. And also, I really appreciate all the staff work here, like Magnus, Connor, Jesse, Nicole, Daniel, and all other volunteers. Shout out to them. And also, like, I love our Chinese audiences, our supporters, our subscribers to my live streaming show. And yes, if you are interested and continue with us, please just stay tuned every Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. Vancouver time, and Beijing time, 8 to 9 a.m. on Friday. If you have any story you want to reach out or be a guest, just email to callmenegotiator@gmail.com. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.